acknowledged it wasn't his style. He picked it up from the floor, where he had flung it in a rage, and studied it helplessly for some clue as to the sender's identity. The paper was cheap and flimsy, but the words meant business. It was 11 o'clock. He walked over to the window and moved the curtains a fraction so he could peer out. The darkness pressed against the window as though it was trying to get in. He opened his bedroom door and listened intently. All was quiet, and as it should be. Father Malone and the housekeeper did not keep late hours and had already retired to their rooms. Remembering the stricken expression of the young priest earlier, he felt a slight pang of remorse. He could have handled the situation better. Suddenly, the insistent trill of the phone pierced the silence. He swiftly ran down to answer it, his plain black cassock whispering on the stairs. With trembling hands, he picked up the phone, the color draining from his face as he heard the menacing voice on the other end of the line. Slowly, he replaced the receiver on the hook. With a lingering backwards glance, he opened the back door and slipped out into the still night. It was clammy, and not a breath of air disturbed the overhanging trees as he hurried up the narrow lane to the church, his heart thudding uncomfortably against the confines of his chest. He went in the small door to the rear of the church and paused to listen. All he could hear was the sound of his own breathing and the thump of his heart. As his eyes acclimatized to the darkness, he walked slowly towards the confessional box, resisting the urge to flee with every step. He paused outside the priest's door. The handle wouldn't yield. He walked to the penitent's door and swung it open. As he sank onto the kneeler, the metal grill flew open, and Father Boyd reared back with a shout of terror, hearing the sickening crunch of bone against unforgiving stone. Chapter 1. Detective Inspector Frank Farrell glanced around the tiny impersonal room with its beige walls, grey carpet and cheap wooden desk strewn with files. Not for the first time, he wondered whether he'd done the right thing in accepting a transfer back to Dumfries from the murder squad in Edinburgh. The rain drummed relentlessly on the window behind his desk. He looked out over the town. The swollen grey clouds had leached colour out of the landscape. The first early morning shoppers were dumping their cars in the car park across the road from the station. Beyond the rooftops, the Lowther Hills were shrouded in mist. Turning round, he folded his long body onto the chair behind the desk and, with a frown, pulled a pink slip of paper towards him. It was a message from Father Ignatius Boyd, dated yesterday, the day before he started his new job. Farrell's jaw clenched. The cheek of the man. Daring to phone him after all this time. Boyd had even tried to engage him in conversation after Mass yesterday morning, but Farrell had been having none of it. Impulsively, he screwed the message up into a tight ball and lobbed it into the waste paper basket. He had better things to do than pander to an elderly priest whose Christian charity could be measured in negative numbers. Ignoring the niggling voice in his head that said he was being unprofessional, Farrell pulled the nearest file towards him and started reading. He'd almost finished when the phone rang. A nervous voice asked him to go along to Detective Superintendent Walker's office on the top floor. Farrell moved quickly, knowing that if you got on the wrong side of the super, it cast a long shadow. He knocked firmly, and a clipped voice bid him enter. The large, airy office contained a small, compact man behind a large desk. His sleeves were rolled up, and Farrell could just make out the tail end of a tattoo on his left arm. Tufts of fiery red hair stuck out in all directions above milky white freckled skin. Walker ignored him, continuing to rustle the papers on his desk. Farrell waited patiently. Some men never leave the playground. Eventually, when the silence had started to stretch between them like a steel cable, Walker looked up and treated Farrell to his best ball-breaker stare.
"Now, Farrell, I hope you realise that we'll not tolerate any funny business at this station."
"Sir?" Whatever Farrell had expected, it wasn't this. He could feel amusement welling up and struggled to keep his face impassive.
"You know what I mean. Don't play the innocent with me, lad. I don't want any papist mumbo-jumbo interrupting the smooth running of this station. No speaking in tongues, no Bible.